Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. Weekdays, we start at 11 and we continue until 2 p.m. on AM 1380, 99.9 FM. Remember, you can always listen online at our website, DePietro.com. It's time for our segment, Politics This Week. Joining us, he is the managing editor, AnchorRising.com. It is Justin Katz. Justin, let's start off on Saturday afternoon, apparently, this group. I'm unfamiliar with them, but it's called Pine. And it's, well, I'd be curious to hear your description of how they are. But anyhow, you've seen a photo emerged, I think it was about 15, maybe a couple more than that, standing on a hill at the library in Cumberland. Apparently, they went to a few of the places. And what's more interesting is the reaction that it caused on social media and how the media reacts to it. And just so people are clear, there are these different groups that protest, espousing all different types of beliefs. And as long as they're peaceful, people may not like the group, they may not like what their beliefs are, but in our country, it's completely legal under the law. And so they are allowed to peacefully assemble. This group to me seems a little bit of an offshoot, kind of like that Patriot Front or 131. They cover their masks. They're all Caucasian. But let's start off. I'd like to hear some of your thoughts about this group that was at the Cumberland Library on Saturday.
Well, I think it's a very useful case that kind of brings us further along an interesting topic in media and culture and politics recently. I mean, one of the things, I'm not familiar with this group. It's something New England, Pine, P-I-N-E. Their idea is to make New England a homeland for white people, basically, which is pretty fringe and silly in my view, and certainly worth opposing if it were to become an actual policy preference. But what makes it interesting is this is they're distinct from, and I don't know much about who's in any of these groups or what their really core goals are and their secret hearts, but it seems to be a step softer than like a Patriot Front or the other kind of the what we call the white supremacy groups, in that they're saying we're not looking for political action right now. We're looking just to spread the message and change the culture is their goal. And their idea is it's really starting to make me wonder if we're not making it more difficult to understand what's going on with phrases like white supremacy, because at least in their expressed materials, it's not really supremacist. There's no "we're the best race" and all this kind of stuff. It's like we want a homeland, which is much more in line with, say, progressive identity politics, which is every race matters. Races congregate, we should consider people in context of their race. And so when you talk like that, you create this, okay, well then we deserve a homeland, right? I don't know that it adds anything to call them supremacists. So they seem a bit softer. And because of that, it really starts to raise, put some more light on the other media, the media reactions and also the political reactions. I mean, the first, as far as I can tell, the first public notice of this came from an anonymous labor union account from the RI Painters, which is kind of odd, right? I mean, is the goal of this account to do progressive politics, or is it to advance the cause of people who paint for a living? So that raises that question. What is this group? Who has control of that Twitter feed or that X feed and that X account and is able to do this? And then you get the media. So Amanda Milkovitz from the Boston Globe comes out and says the neo-Nazis are what is it, harassing libraries again.
Yes.
And
taking that anonymous account at their word.
Yeah, exactly. No reporting. Just, here they go again. And so she doesn't know the group. She doesn't know anything about them. She knows that somebody she doesn't know called them neo-Nazis. That's good enough for her. And then after that, she starts following up in her journalistic reporting in print, I suppose, but certainly in the online version, about how the police were called. There were no arrests. Well, why should there be arrests? I mean, these are people standing there with flags, maybe handing out literature to anybody who wants them. I mean, that's not really. And so I think that's what's really interesting is we've got this sort of hardened talking point where everything's out the window. There's no journalism isn't about finding out what's going on and letting people know. Because if that were the case, they would say, oh, this isn't white supremacy, this so much as separatism, which is interesting because didn't in 2021, didn't we have a group of armed black separatists with a police standoff on Route 95?
Right.
I mean, that's that to me, those are those kind of movements. Yeah, the Children of the Moors or something. Those movements are, that's something that's interesting that's happening. And it, in my view, it's a consequence of this identity politics, intersectionality. They're really driving our country apart to be more and more like that on the left. And I think that's why journalists don't really, instinctively don't want to really dig into it. But that narrative of the white supremacists are evil. It's even violence if they're standing there expressing their views. Therefore, we should ban that. And I'm seeing that more and more in social media and elsewhere with people saying, how is this even allowed? Well, it's America, right?
Right.
So that's allowed. And it's one of these topics I could go on and on about, but it ties to me with recent social media clips of, I'm forgetting her name, a Politico reporter who was on MSNBC, and she said, oh, these white nationalist groups, they're all Christian nationalist groups, they're all united in the belief that our rights come from God and not from government and the Supreme Court and Congress. Well, yeah, that's our founding belief, but apparently not in the circles of progressive journalism. And so I think these things all start to tie together, and I think if we're smart, we'll really step back and say, what is really going on here? And if I put the best light on what these people want, what is it they want? I mean, it's fringe. I'd rather know what they want so I can talk them off the ledge of fringe separatism. But if I think we'll do much better as a society if we start to really pay attention to what's going on, and really, is this just as simple as neo-Nazis targeting libraries? I don't think so. And I think that does a disservice to people to let it become that story right away.
It is interesting that these groups, Justin, I'll say, they don't make it easy with it. They even address, they cover their face. Many times, let's just say like a Black Lives Matter protest, then the reporters will go and speak with some of the people there. You don't get that with a group like this, of which, you know, I didn't know they were going to be there. I don't think anyone knew they were going to be there. They don't put anything out. I find some of the reaction, though, you're exactly right. It is confusing. You don't know really where they stand. What I thought was dangerous was taking that Painters Union, what they put out. Now, unless maybe she knows who runs that particular Twitter feed, but to put out that, you know, they're legit, that it's these neo-Nazis again at a library. But in the next tweet, the people that put this out from the Painters Union, they put that they were armed. Now, as someone that spends a lot of time with police, I can tell you that if a call ever comes in and says that someone has produced a weapon, it's a completely different response. And the way the police arrive, you know, I've been riding in a vehicle with law enforcement, and when they hear that someone has produced a weapon, you know, it is, they floor it to get there. It is, you know, that's when you'll see 6 to 8, even 10 cars show up, and they're, you know, coming out of the vehicles, almost guns drawn sometimes. So to me, that's dangerous to share, you know, here's what they're saying, they're legit. And then in the next tweet, this Painters Union people put that they were armed. By the way, that was totally unfounded. But I think these groups, they don't help themselves with the mask. It is a little odd. I also want to share with you, I, you know, posted this on several platforms. I can't believe these people on Instagram were saying, oh, those are feds. And just the, you know, how ridiculous to me that is, that as if, you know, this is all carryover from January 6th, where people believe that it was feds inside, you know, that were orchestrating the whole thing. But actual adults to think that on Saturday afternoon, 15 FBI agents went to Cumberland, Rhode Island, of all places, and stood there is, like, to me, that's the most, like, not disgraceful, but the most concerning thing is that people would actually believe that in this day and age.
Well, so I will say...
Go ahead.
No, I agree with you in this case, but I will say some of the online clips you see of the random group of guys all in the same t-shirts, what, marching down a city street, and then they hop in their cars and drive away. That one, I'm a little bit more like, that could be. But yeah, this one, as you say, is Cumberland, Rhode Island, a handful of people at a library. And honestly, I think it was
girls mixed in, by the way. There was some girls standing with them. So that would be different. As you say, they seem softer than 131 or Patriot Front.
Right, I think you posted a copy of their flyer, and it did say we wear masks because we're afraid of Antifa coming after our families, which I think is, you know, honestly, if I work in Boston and I'm in a group like this, I'm not, and I wouldn't be, but if I were, and the Boston Globe puts I'm the only person in a group without a mask on, and Boston Globe puts my picture on the front page, and my boss is seeing that, I could see that being a concern, because we've made this so, if you even talk about this as a white person, you are a neo-Nazi and don't deserve to be able to make a living. And so I could see that being a real concern. And I think that it is different than the ones that come out with the Nazi flags and their hands up and march down the street and disappear. That's a very different thing than these people. It's almost like, I can't remember his name. It's a group of Democrats, the Roque, I think it is. And they drive around. They used to say Obama was a Nazi, and they would appear on a random town's main street. Like I saw them in Tiverton from time to time or like other groups that, like the Phelps family, that just go around and they've got strange beliefs, but they feel like they have to express them everywhere they can. I think that's much more similar to this case. And so I think we need to get to a place where these people feel free to not be wearing masks and to talk, because that's kind of how a nation of multiple people with different opinions comes together and kind of understands each other and can live together. And I think that's one of the dangers of the way we're approaching these things now, is where you're a neo-Nazi, you don't deserve to be able to make a living. And I think that's one of them, even more dangerous than having these groups come out and speak and express their opinions.
Folks, quick break, much more ahead. Politics and Sweet, Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com, right here on the John DePietro Show.
The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994, that's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year, I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln.
Our segment is Politics This Week. With us is Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com. Justin, let's talk about the soccer stadium. Governor McKee was out of town for the latter part of the week. He was, I believe, in D.C., the National Governors Association. So he was basically not around Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But more and more people, and I'm glad, is speaking out. Bloomberg did a piece that this soccer stadium deal is just atrocious. I think you and I have discussed what was really behind it, which was just, and it should have been amplified more, which was it came on the same day that McKee received the endorsement from George Nee, AFL-CIO, who sat next to him at the meeting. And then McKee was the tiebreaker. But the more details we get on the soccer stadium, you tell me, of course, none of it makes sense.
Oh, no, certainly. I mean, when would it ever make sense to pay back four times what you're able to give? I mean, especially in a budget of multiple billion dollars, just find the $27 million and hand it out if that's what you want to do. But it really goes to this idea of, you know, the revenue bond and how they can borrow money, and that's what they have to do in order to get 27. They've got to borrow 130 something million, and it does not make sense at all, except as a giveaway to the labor unions, to all the lawyers and others involved, as well as as well as all the investors in the bonds who, as we've discussed, get these huge returns for really what ends up being no risk.
Now, Justin, a huge story last week was also, and before, let me just finish on the soccer stadium. It is in motion. Of all the different things that it just kind of left hanging, it's no surprise. McKee made sure this was pushed. This is happening. I come back to again, he was just, this is like a gift to labor. You're going to get a no-bid contract. You get to build the stadium. It doesn't matter whether or not it's going to be successful. It doesn't matter that it's really not a economic generator. And the amount of money they had to borrow to make it happen is just preposterous. But I want to hear your thoughts about that. It actually made national news because ICE, ICE office in Boston, they released a scathing statement saying that there was whole business of this accused child molester, an illegal Guatemalan national who was set free before they were set to pick him up, and then they were able to rearrest him 10 months later. But it set off a back and forth between Attorney General Peter Noronha and Governor McKee. And I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on the back and forth between the two.
Well, I think in some ways it makes it more concerning. I mean, it would be one thing if, as we sort of assumed, it was somebody at the Department of Correction saying, "Yeah, we're not going to follow ICE. We're not like that. We're more of a sanctuary state," and they let him go. Because if that were the case, I mean, as bad as it would be, you could correct it. Here, there's a lot of bureaucratic back and forth. McKee is now saying, "Well, no, ICE told us they didn't have enough people to come and get him, but we notified them." And Arona is coming out and saying, "I told the judge not to give bail, and the judge did it anyway." We've got a real deep problem here, where the safety of the people of Rhode Island does not appear to be the highest priority of people in law enforcement. And I think that's a real concern. I mean, I don't know how a judge looks at an illegal immigrant and says, "Eh, not a flight risk, $50,000 bond." I mean, that seems pretty egregious to me. And I think there's just this deep culture where, maybe ICE was to blame, but then who's in charge of the federal government right now? Joe Biden, who's let in millions of illegal immigrants over the border. So it's almost like there's nobody we can trust in any of this to really safeguard Americans. And that's of a deeper concern than just letting some guy go because of a lingering, like, Chafee policy from a decade ago.
Which seems to be what it is just McKee just it was Chafee that put it in motion in 2014, and then Raimondo left it as is, and then of course Governor McKee, he's just leaving it as is. But it also then Justin warranted both Senate Minority Leader Jessica de la Cruz, she was on Channel 10 talking about it, I think also on Channel 12. Representative Mike Chippendale was calling for it. What do you think of their approach where they're now trying to put pressure on Governor McKee, saying he needs to clarify whether or not Rhode Island is operating as a sanctuary state?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. So much of this policy, and what I was kind of alluding to a minute ago, was so much of this policy is sort of it's just fashion. It's not even meant to be policy. We're a sanctuary city. We're a sanctuary state. Well, what does that mean? It's something that nobody ever describes. It's just a feel good. It's almost like an expression of solidarity with Taiwan or something. It's not like not like they're thinking through policies of this. What does this mean? Does this mean we'll give, like in New York, we'll give $10,000 with no strings to everybody who comes? Does it mean, well, it certainly means driver's licenses in Rhode Island. Does it mean we will pay up to X in social services and Y in education? And what's the definition of it? I think a lot of these, we let these politicians, and I mean, by we, I mean all of us, including progressives and the news media and so on. We let these politicians say these things and establish these policies without really digging into the nuts and bolts of it. And they therefore can let these policies go on where it means we will pretend you're not a flight risk when you molest children in our state. I mean, nobody articulated that in the past decade. And I think that's part of the problem. And so you get this situation where it probably seemed obvious to just about everybody involved. "Oh yeah, let them go, whatever," until it becomes a problem. And then suddenly it was equally obvious that, "Oh yeah, he should have been held," to everybody involved. And I think that is the problem. So I think the Republicans in Rhode Island have it right, and I think that's one of the secret weapons they may have, is just start getting the Democrats to define what their policies mean, what these
Exactly.
talking points mean. What is
Yep.
it you mean by mail ballots? What does that allow? What do you mean by sanctuary? All that stuff. And that's, I think, very important. And I in this line, it reminds me of when Patricia Morgan and they were talking about the driver's licenses for illegal immigrants. Well, what does it mean that this is going to be identical to regular driver's
Right.
licenses. Does that mean it's not going to have any indication that it's not a real driver's license?
Good point.
Those sorts of things are where the Republicans can do a really good service, even as the minority.
I also wanted to point out that it was the Johnston Sunrise. That paper was the one that kicked this whole thing off. Peter Noronha, the attorney general, he did an interview Monday live on Channel 12. At no point was he asked about that story, kind of rocketed over the course of the weekend. And then it was the Johnston Sunrise that kicked it into motion. 12 then Monday night then went and got reaction from Noronha. And then Channel 10 finally jumped in on the story midweek. What I found interesting about it, Justin Katz, is prior to that, as you and I have talked about, our local media, they don't do anything on the fact that the state basically does operate as a sanctuary state. And regardless of what Governor McKee, we'll see how he's going to answer. But if you and I were in the country illegally, and if you go to Rhode Island, they don't cooperate with ICE, and no one's going to harass us here, and we're not going to get deported, compared with the way some other states operate. Well, whether Governor McKee wants to admit it or not, but the state basically does operate as a sanctuary state. If we can come here and know that the local officials don't cooperate with ICE, and therefore we have no danger. We are safe in a place like Rhode Island. So I'm curious to see, and Governor McKee, of course, he's not available today. I think his only thing on the calendar is the commerce meeting tonight. But I'll be curious to see how he's going to answer. I'm sure it'll be very lawyerly. Or he then said, "Oh, I'm having my state police look into it," and when we'll see if the come back with anything on that. Folks, quick break. Much more ahead. Politics this week. Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com, right here on the John DePietro Show.
AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement. Call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252. AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ Drywall Plaster Home Improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall, Plaster, and Home Improvements for your home or business.
Our segment is Politics This Week. With us is Justin Katz, managing editor, anchorrising.com. Well, Justin, Governor McKee was, I believe, already in D.C., and word broke that Channel 12, to their credit, they were the ones they first got their hands on this, I think it was an engineering draft report that it looks like that the entire Washington Bridge might have to come down. Just so people understand, the day before, last Wednesday, Governor McKee held a press briefing with the DOT director, with the mayors of both East Providence and Providence. And all they laid out instead was, we're going to have three lanes on each side, and people are going to have to go 40 miles an hour. And no point did they mention this engineering study saying that the bridge needs to come down. And then there was a lot of fallout of it after that. And then it really did become the lead story towards the latter part of last week. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, it's just amazing to me that they're not getting it. You've got this problem. Dive into it. As soon as you have any information, set expectations. Don't wait for the formal report. And I mean, it's all such cover your butt nonsense. Just tell people what's going on. It's no surprise, It's so now they're talking. They may have to go all the way down and just rebuild the thing from the bedrock up. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. But I'm not surprised. I mean, we for years, a nearby overpass right by the Washington Bridge there was held up by a pile of wood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad things are. And it makes me wonder what other bridges are about to go. I mean, and that's one of the big concerns here. One of the reasons the I'm not seeing much by way of this from the DOT or the news media. I see LVD out there saying, "Oh, we've got everything else under control." Well, okay, do you? I mean, that's there. I'm not sure why there aren't journalists crawling around every bridge in the state looking for rot and concrete crumbling and stuff like that, because it's got to be going on elsewhere. I mean, I certainly have no confidence in this government. And it, but it, one other thing it really puts a spotlight on is this is not, you know, the past week. This is years and years and years. Why is our infrastructure so bad? Why? Well, how can we fix this? It's not money. Something else is going on. And I think that's what really needs to be of concern. But you know, this is a huge problem for Rhode Island. We're going to be dealing with this for years now. It's going to take years to build this bridge, and it's going to get all caught up. And because it's a desperate thing, we're not going to hear anybody giving concessions. You know, it's going to go the other way, I suspect. You're not going to have the labor unions going, "Oh, well, this is a big deal for Rhode Island. We're going to ease up." No, it's going to be, "This is a desperate thing, so you're going to be able to pay more," right? I think that's the way it's going to go. And I think that's another problem. It makes me, you know, during COVID, we were worried about some people getting sick and an increase in some death. And so we shut down schools. Everything changed. Laws changed. They were able to force you to, employers were able to force you to vaccinate. You had to wear a mask. And yet, here we've got this huge problem, which is a health risk to the state, is going to destroy the economy. Where's the talk of, you know what, we're going to pass a law in a General Assembly that in this specific case, we're not going to be as pro labor union with our, you know, our requirements for working conditions and so on. We're going to ease that up because we need to get this done quickly. There's no sense of any urgency at all. It's just, well, we'll ease along. When we have the final report, we'll let you know. I mean, it's just the whole attitude to me seems wrong.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Justin. And I can't believe at this stage, maybe we should. This is just the way they operate. At no point Wednesday did McKee mention anything about that. Once again, the mayors of East Providence and Providence found out from the media, not from the governor's people. And I want to just quickly point out, you know, the report, Channel 12 got their hands on it. Then shortly after that, Channel 10 did, and also the Globe and the Journal. And there you have down the dial, Dan York, who worked in the McKee campaign. He's on the airwaves, allowed to, by the way, saying the DOT should investigate who leaked that report to the media. And although no one talked about it, I think it's one of those things. It's really unprecedented. They chose, to me, his allegiance is to the McKee campaign. It is certainly not to the listeners. And I can't come up with another example where a media outlet got their hands on legitimate, these are real documents. Obviously, someone saw that he's not mentioning it and somehow got it to Channel 12. But it's just so appalling that someone's allowed to be on saying, well, they should be investigating who leaked the information. If anything, to me, I see that as trying to intimidate any other people who may think of leaking some information to the media.
Well, you know, I don't have any qualms with somebody being able to say this stuff, but the idea that that's not that's what they want to have on the radio is
Right,
strange to
that's
me.
what I'm
I
talking
mean,
about.
that's the we want people to come out with this stuff, and we're not talking
Yes.
state secrets here. There's
No.
no officer, no agent's life is in danger because there's a leak of an engineering report about the bad condition. It's just politically uncomfortable for the governor. And you know, that it just points to the problem. It shouldn't have to be leaked. It should be, here's the draft. You don't need every I dotted on something like this. We know it's a problem. We know it's going to take a long time. We know there's danger. Letting us in on every detail along the way is not, I just don't see the need for any secrecy whatsoever. And so the idea that we should investigate leaks is, no, there shouldn't even be, it shouldn't even have to be leaked. It ought to, the moment it's emailed to the governor, he ought to pass it along. Here's where we are, folks. I mean, the whole situation is kind of mind-boggling in that respect.
Yeah, or at least if you have a press briefing, mention that. Now, Justin Katz, also, the State Bureau of Tourism laid out their campaign. It's entitled Rhode Island, All That. I think it is the first time they've had any type of theme campaign since Cooler and Warmer. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this is a tourism campaign that they've put together.
You know, I wonder why. I don't know, when I see these things, I wonder why we think government should be considered a marketing enterprise
Yeah.
and spending money on campaigns. And you know, all right, some of them are okay. I can't say they'd make me come to Rhode Island if I were looking for somewhere. And I don't get the whole, I don't know how we got here to, I could see maybe a city or, and I guess the state's, I don't know. When they're successful, these campaigns are great. You know, like Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But
Sure.
it's a tourism place. You know, that's it's kind of the whole city was founded on tourism. And so I could see a little bit of it, but especially when the state is being run so poorly, it
Yes.
just the optics of it to me just
Yeah.
feel like,
Being tone deaf.
yeah, just like all that, like what, all that rubble, like all, I mean, all that traffic. What are you talking about? I mean,
Yeah.
this, I just don't. I it just it seems like the whole state, as I said, is just rolling along. This is what we do, and completely ignoring the reality on the ground, which ought to be maybe let's skip the ad campaign this year and put a little bit more money into fixing some bridges because that's what we really need, and we can have a campaign of here's how we fix the bridges. People, I don't. It just, I don't know. That cooler and warmer had the same kind of feel, like just desperate. How do we do it? You know, or like Link Chafee changing the signs at the border. Like, what? Why? Why are you? Why are we bothering when there's so much else that you could be focused on?
Folks, again, our segment is Politics This Week. With us is Justin Katz, managing editor at anchorrising.com. Justin, finally, the Providence Journal did a piece on Rep Morgan, who is Patricia Morgan, excuse me, who's running for in a primary right now for this Sheldon, the winner gets to take on Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. I'm just curious, what do you think of the profile on Rep Morgan?
Well, I think it's, I think the framing of she's quietly running, it seems strange to me. I mean, you generally you have journalists digging and speculating who might run. I mean, they're ready to amp up anybody who's running, and I think that's that framing just, and I almost can't blame them because it's always such a long shot in this state. But I think that's a big part of why we are where we are. That just this idea, like, oh, she's quietly running. We had some space to fill in our paper or our publication, and so we'll do a profile here. And that feeling just seems off to me. I mean, the profile is not good enough. Where is she in? Where are these candidates in other articles? Right? Where are they talking about this policy or that policy? Why are they? Why is it quiet? Why don't we know who's running? I mean, that it's because the journalists are letting it that way, and so they'll do a profile here and there, and then they can say, "Oh, well, we did a profile," but that's not what really it really means. I mean, if somebody's out there and they're trying to run, and they're a legitimate contender to be on the ballot, then I want to know what their opinion is when White House is mentioned elsewhere, or when
Right.
there's another national story. And I think that's really what bugs me. The profiles are nice, but that's not really how you reflect the political reality.
Yeah, that and the use of that word, it does kind of echo like there's something sinister here. Almost to me, what I thought of was how she, Senator Whitehouse is always talking about dark money in politics. She's, very quietly running as if, there's something sinister afloat. Folks, again, our segment Politics This Week, he is Justin Katz, managing editor at anchorrising.com. Justin, excellent job as always, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you, John. I look forward to the next conversation.
AEP Services. They take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link. Experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail. They have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative landscape. It adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today. AEP Services, 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water resistant, Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote, AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. Follow On the Scene live stream. That's our Facebook live stream page. You can go to the website, dipietro.com. There's a link there. Or on Facebook, just find the John DePietro Show. That's where we do the On the Scene live stream. Follow all the action. Make sure you follow our Facebook page. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Well, there they were on Saturday. If you log on to dipietro.com, a group showed up on Saturday, and of all places, outside the Cumberland Library. And there's a number of them, predominantly men, seem to be some young women there as well, all young, and they have some flags, and they called Pine, and they stood outside the Cumberland Library. Now, this panicked a lot of people, and again, you can read the story, see the photos on dipietro.com. And there's a couple things about this that I just want to mention. Now, this group, of which some people, and members of the media, by the way, were causing panic and saying that they were armed Nazis that were showing up there. Well, they're not. Pine, apparently, according to brochures they hand out, is the People's Initiative of New England. Grassroots effort advocate for advance the interests of New Englanders. So I think this is kind of like a white supremacist group. New England is the whitest region in North America. Who's behind it? And, I don't know what. They also have a five-point program, PINE. Again, it stands for People's Initiative New England. So, white homeland, sovereign state, pursue policies supposedly that are pro-family. Why do you wear masks? They cover their face due to the hostility surrounding the political climate. Some of the volunteers utilize face to protect families' livelihoods from potential attack by Antifa terrorists and other groups. Now, you certainly don't have that here in New England. Is it racist? They also have on their brochure. We are advocating for our people not taking anything away from other groups. We don't believe New Englanders should be ashamed of their history. What are your goals? We're promoting a five-point political program. Again, this is all on their literature. So, but let me just touch on this. Now, first of all, there was a member of the media that shared this business of neo-Nazis, and it's a rally, and they're armed, which is very, very dangerous. It was actually the Rhode Island Painters Union. Armed, masked neo-Nazis. Now, where that's really dangerous is what if Cumberland Police or some law enforcement agency saw that? Anyone that, you know, has followed, when we cover a lot of the police scenes, the scene changes dramatically if there's a weapon introduced. So what I mean by that is there's a big difference of there's a disturbance. There's a huge difference that then takes place if a weapon is displayed. If somebody pulls out a knife or let alone a gun, that really changes the dynamic. That ups the number of police that go, and how they behave at the scene is greatly altered. Now, with this group, do I support this group? No, I don't. I think it's actually kind of, I think it's silly. And most of the time, these types of groups, they're social misfits. They haven't accomplished, they're not accomplishing anything. Maybe they find by doing this, they're able to recruit some members. I think it's interesting there was some girls that were there, because normally it's guys that, you know, have never been on a date, never kissed a girl, certainly have no success in business of any kind. And so they find camaraderie in a group like this. And there's a couple of groups out there like this. You see the, I think the name of it is Patriot 131. They marched on the Boston Common, caused havoc. They have the Neck Gordier. And then you have, there's a group called 131, and they do the same thing. So, number one, I have a problem with the people that cover their faces. Now, not all of them had their faces covered, by the way. The photo I'm looking at, I don't know what to make of this whole thing. But let me say this about the people that are condemning them. And that is, in our society, There's no indication that there was any violence. There's certainly no indication that they were armed. The police, the Cumberland police, they're not going to allow a group of young men with weapons out standing there at the Cumberland Public Library. Would I want a group like that outside of my library if I was going in, or if I was going there with children or my children? No, of course not. I don't think it fits. I don't think it belongs there. However, if we're going to have, which we allow peaceful protests. They didn't seem to be truly causing any violence. They didn't seem to be harassing anyone. It's a little unsettling. Someone said to me, "This is like the KKK." Not really. They're not in costumes. They maybe had their face covered. I don't like it, but much like, I don't think there should be people on the streets that we've had supporting Hamas. We shouldn't have the people that are the I don't like the people that are the communists and the socialists. I don't like the BLM crowd is far more violent. We had some Antifa activity in this area the summer of 2020. I haven't seen any, and I say that as someone that would come face to face with them. So I'm not sure what to make of that. But if we're going to allow, which we do, in our country, you are allowed to peacefully gather and stand there. It's my understanding. I don't think they were making a lot of noise. They weren't doing anything obscene. And so for the media, they're going after them. I think if you're going to go after them, you have to go to after all of them. Now, as someone that many times follows or covers many of these different types of groups, I mean, it's not even close. When I in back in October, when I covered that protest, 800 Hamas supporters and chanting death to the Jews. Now, to me, and there were problems, and there were arrests. Now, to me, they are far more dangerous than 50, it looked like 15 people maybe total standing on a hill at the Cumberland Library. And I also want to touch on the people. I posted this on both Facebook and Instagram. There are people posting feds. Those are the fit. Like that is embarrassing. You actually think that. Oh, yeah. The FBI, they're at the Cumberland, Rhode Island Library on a Saturday. First of all, none of the people standing there would ever qualify to be an FBI agent and/or a police officer. For people to actually think that is it's embarrassing. I don't know how else to say it. I think they're embarrassing. And people say, someone put they're paid Democrat actors. You think that's where they would put their resources? Outside the Cumberland Library. Feds. Those, oh yeah, that's the FBI is standing outside posing as a white supremacy group outside a library in Cumberland, Rhode Island. If you think that, you need your head examined. I don't know what to make of people that actually would believe that. Ludicrous. No, it's social misfits looking to belong, and they have found themselves together in this group. That's what this is. Again, you can see the article and photos on DePietro.com. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. The nation horrified the shocking killing of that young woman in Athens, Georgia, Let's hear the latest from ABC.
Jogging on a University of Terrible. Georgia campus, facing a Flying judge. Illegal. ABC's Morgan Norwood has more on what we're learning about him. Morgan, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Gio. Yeah, police say Jose Ibarra and Lincoln Riley didn't know each other, that this was a crime of opportunity. The charges so severe that the judge immediately denying Ibarra's bond. But this morning, we're seeing mounting questions surrounding Ibarra's immigration status. All of this as his brother faces separate charges, too. Jose Ibarra, the suspect charged in the killing of nursing student Lincoln Riley on the University of Georgia's campus, ordered to remain behind bars. The 26-year-old going before a judge on murder, aggravated assault, and kidnapping charges, and what authorities call the first homicide at UGA in nearly 30 years.
This court is not authorized under Georgia law to set bond in light of these charges.
We're also asserting his rights under the Fifth Amendment to remain silent.
Riley disappeared Thursday, her friends calling police after the former high school cross-country star never came back from her morning run. Officers finding her body hours later near the running trails at UGA, where she used to go to school. Police say security camera footage, along with community tips, led them to Ibarra.
Investigation suggests that they had no relationship. He did not know her at all. I think this was a crime of opportunity.
And this morning, new questions surrounding Ibarra's immigration status. Police revealing Ibarra is a non-U.S. resident from Venezuela. It comes as Ibarra's brother, Diego, who authorities say is undocumented, faces separate charges of his own. According to court documents, police approached Diego Ibarra because he matched the description of a homicide suspect. And when asked for ID, they say he presented a fraudulent green card. Meanwhile, a heartbroken community honoring Lincoln Riley, her nearby college, Augusta University, describing her as a promising future nurse. Her sister writing on Instagram, "This isn't fair, and I will never understand it. I will miss and love you forever, Lincoln." And so though police said Jose Ibarra doesn't have an extensive criminal history, we're learning that he was arrested here in New York last year after he arrived in the city from the Texas border. He was charged with operating a moped without a license and child endangerment, as police say his son was riding without head protection or restraint.
Truly an alarming case. Still a lot of questions, too, Morgan.
No question. Now, folks, this is something I believe that Governor McKee is going to have to deal with this week. I was surprised more was not made of the story on some of the Sunday shows. I'm not sure, and I don't know why, that more was not made of it, because I think it's one of those stories that breaks through. I think... I believe this could end up being a Willie Horton type of story that would impact the election. I have no idea why there wasn't more discussion on that on the Sunday shows. So, but there was no reason for him to be in the country. Now, this week, I am hoping that the Republicans at the Rhode Island State House keep the pressure on Governor McKee for him to clarify what is the state's position when it comes to illegal immigration and whether or not he's running a sanctuary state. Now, I don't expect that Governor McKee is going to be straightforward and forthcoming. He'll probably try to dance around it. He'll try to, I would imagine, try to pretend that the state's not running a sanctuary state. But it is a sanctuary state, and it's very simple. It's because if you have agencies that report to the governor that are not cooperating with ICE, what else would you call that? Now, I believe Governor McKee is going to try to say, well, we're not, and blah, 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 and try to point and distract and try to come away and frustrate people. And, well, you know, we're not, but we're going to have our people take a look at it. And he'll try to dance around it. But the fact of the matter is, you have states that cooperate with ICE, and then you have the states that don't. And the states that don't are the ones that are, in fact, housing illegals. And illegals come to Rhode Island because it is a sanctuary state, and they know no one's going to harass them, no one's going to deport them. The media turns a blind eye to it. I want to once again commend the reps at the Rhode Island State House, the Republicans anyway, that are drawing attention to the story. But look at that situation. That animal had no business being in our country or in Georgia. That girl should be alive. What an absolute disgrace. There's no reason for that. And how many more of them? We know why he killed her. He was going to try to sexually assault her. And it sure sounds as if she fought back. And then it cost her life. Does that make sense to you that a young woman goes out for a midday run? Not early morning, not late at night. A midday run. And ends up being killed. Brutally killed by someone who is not supposed to be in the country. And because of Biden-Harris, because of lax immigration laws and rules, she lost her life. It is disgraceful. It's avoidable. That he did that. This isn't an argument that some try to make that they actually cause, you know, less deaths and so forth and per capita. It's all nonsense is what it is. That young girl should be alive. And her life was taken by someone who had no business being in this country and a president who was absolutely asleep at the switch and allowed failed policies for that to happen. So, I mean, it is so heartbreaking in the brazenness of it. This wasn't a robbery. They didn't know each other. That animal saw this young girl running. I'm sure went to tackle her, sexually assault her. She was fighting back. And instead, he ended up killing her. So gruesome. Just disgraceful. Lakin Hope Riley. Friend told police she hadn't returned from a morning run as her body was found right at that Athens campus. Let me again pick up a little bit more from CBS. I mean, it's just so terrible, folks. I believe this is a voting issue. And I believe as a result of this, Georgia will go Republican.
CBS's Mark Strassman reports tonight on renewed concerns of safety on college campuses.
Yep.
Lakin Riley.
For Lakin Riley, an aspiring nurse, this white jacket ceremony was a rite of passage. The 22-year-old honor student was murdered as she jogged alone, jarring Athens, home of the University of Georgia.
She was a sweet girl. It's obviously devastating for my sorority. All the girls were, like, at the house crying yesterday.
Athens is your textbook college town. Lake Herrick is another option for students to jog, walk, relax. But the woods behind this lake is where police found Lakin Riley's body.
Her murder, the first on this campus in 20 years.
He did not know her at all. I think this was a crime of opportunity.
Tonight, police announced they arrested 26-year-old Jose Antonio Ibarra and charged him with malice murder, felony murder, aggravated battery, and assault. Friday felt different here, edgy for many. All day, police scoured this apartment complex. Friday classes were canceled.
So definitely a fear factor.
For Georgia students like Haley Pearson and Addison Turkin.
Everyone's just in their dorm or went home, and it's just a quiet, eerie feeling.
Adidas commissioned a global survey about women joggers like Lakin Riley. 92% said they were concerned, and 51% said afraid of being physically attacked, especially now in Athens.
I've always run with a group, and part of the reason is because I don't want to run alone. And
safety.
Yeah, safety. That's the number one thing.
Mark Strassman, CBS News, Athens, Georgia.
Terrible. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. Check out DePietro.com, DePietro.com, all our links to social media, exclusive stories and videos waiting for you at DePietro.com.